We are in Romans chapter 9, and I want to read the text beginning in verse 30. But before we get to verse 30, I want you to look back at verse 6. I believe this is the key to the whole of the chapter. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. Why, goodness, no, the word of God never fails. But listen to this. For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Listen. They are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. They're not all Jews who were born Jewish. You could say they are not all Christians who were birthed in a Christian home. Not everybody of Israel is Israel. And he deals with a Jew in this text. So we come to verse 30, which is that wraps up the first 29 verses. And Paul says, what shall we say then? He asked that question three times. Verse 14, he said, what shall we say then? In verse 19, he says it a little different. You will say to me then. In verse 30, what shall we say then? What shall we say? What shall we say? Because of all this national Israel that he's been talking about, then what do we say? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is, what are those two words? By faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it. How? By faith, but as though it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, just as it is written over in Isaiah 28. Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And he who believes in him will not be disappointed. We tell you, friend, you come running to Jesus, you will not leave disappointed. He is the satisfier of the soul. I know I have many Jewish friends in this town who watch this broadcast. To my Jewish friends, I appeal to you today, run to Jesus. He is the Messiah. He is the one your Old Testament scriptures speak of. He has come, he has lived, we've killed him. God raised him. But not all that are of Israel are Israel. You must come to the Christ to know him. Dear Baptist friend, not everyone who comes to a Christian church is a Christian. You must run to the Christ and know him personally. May God make it so in your life and in mine. Why is Paul dealing with this? Well, back in chapter 8, he said, who shall separate us from the love of God? And I just believe his Jewish friend said, well, Paul, you were one of us. You were raised like us. You believed the law like us. And now you speak of this Jesus. He is appealing to his own nation, to his own friends, to his own family. And he's saying, yes, Jesus is the one. And he appeals to them, come and follow the Christ that has changed my life. I appeal to you today. Come to the Christ who has changed Paul's life, my life, and many lives in this very room. Father, speak now to us. Take my lips of clay and speak through us. Lord, I in Jesus' name rebuke any anti-Semitism that would ever rise in our hearts. For those that would stand against Israel, we pray, Father, that you would deal justly with them. I pray, oh God, for our Jewish friends that they'd come to full faith in Christ. For everyone in this church that they'd believe in Christ. Lord, help us now to understand what you're saying with us and to us. In Jesus' blessed name I pray and ask. And all the people of God said together, amen. Thank you. And you be seated. Keep your Bible open to Romans chapter 9 as we deal back in this text for a few minutes today. No doubt the Jews had confronted their friend Paul. What about us? What about us? What about us? And Paul now is reaching out to them in this letter to the Romans and many of those Jews in Rome, and he is speaking to them, and many of them that had come to faith in Christ like he had, he is trying to speak into those religious people and give a very pointed word. So what should he say? What shall we say then to the stumbling Jew and to the self-righteous Baptist? What shall we say then? I believe Paul says many things in this text, but I've pulled three out this morning that I want you to see. What shall we say then? Number one, Paul says, number one, there is no injustice with God. The first thing he would say, there is no injustice. What shall we say? Look back in verse 14. What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now, dear friend, get it through your mind and in your heart that God is sovereign. He is in charge. You are not. He is. Verse 16 says, it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. If God had not had mercy on you, you'd never be saved. You can't even think it. You can't will it. You can't. I'm telling you, God reaches to us, and he has mercy on whom he'll have mercy. He's chosen Israel. Why did he choose the Jew? Take that up with God when you get to heaven, if you get there. He chose them. You go on to verse 15, he speaks of Moses. Moses is a Jew, and he chose him. But you get to verse 17, he speaks to Pharaoh, and he's a Gentile, and he chose to use Pharaoh. God is sovereign and he rules. But never get it in your mind that the God of Scripture is unjust in any way. I believe Pharaoh could have gotten saved if he'd have called out to God. I believe any Jew can get saved if they'll call out to God. I believe any Gentile can get saved that will call out to God. There is no injustice with God. He does the right thing every time. The word justice in Scripture means righteousness. That's the word. God does that that is right. Now, we are in a social, corrupt, anti-God mindset in America. And everybody wants to jump up and holler about having social justice. Well, let me tell you, in Jesus' name, we don't need social justice. We need Bible justice. There's still some things that are right, and there's still some things that are wrong. There is a group, God help them, who say that you should not call a baby born a boy or a girl until they reach their fifth year, so that the baby can decide if they're a boy or a girl. They say until they become five, you should call them they-bees, not babies. They just be. And they call that social justice. I call that crazy. It's all in the plumbing. I mean, ain't that right? I'm a biology minor. If I'd have written that in Miss Clement's class, she'd have called my mama and my daddy. We have lost our mind. And let me turn to the other side and say, There are some who name the name of Christ that are mean as hell to some of these people that are confused about their gender. Friend, we are not in the judgment business. We are in the God business that loves the sinner no matter where they are. We put our arms around them no matter their confusion, no matter the way that... It needs to go out from this place at Olive Baptist Church. I care not how many tattoos you got. I care not how much confusion you've got. I care not how much sin you've got. I care not how many times you've been in jail, out of jail. I'm here to tell you, if you'll come run into the Jesus, we will love you at a place called Olive. Am I telling the truth? Say amen. There's no injustice with God, and there should be no injustice with God's people at God's house. Justice means righteousness. We call people to right, not as we think, but as the Word says. And we say, this is what God says, and we stand with it. There is no injustice with God. Hear the word of the Lord in Psalm 119. 137, righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Hear him again in Psalm 145, verse number 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger and he's great in loving kindness. That's the way we're supposed to be, church. Slow to anger and great in loving kindness. Putting our arms around people that don't agree with us. Loving them. Showing Bible justice. There's no place for anti-Semitism. There's no place for a racism, be it a black on black, a white on black, or black on white. There's no place for that. Not in God's people. Oh, but Jeremiah says it best. Chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. I love what the old prophet said. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts, boast of this. Here's what you ought to be boasting about, that he understands and knows me. This is God speaking. And that I am the Lord, and I am the one who exercises loving kindness, justice, there it is, righteousness on earth, not in heaven, not in the next life, in this life. For I delight in these things, in loving kindness, in justice, and in righteousness. God loves that. And we ought to love it. There is no injustice with God. We come to that place that is level before the throne. And it's not by your will, it's by God's mercy. In verse 20, he speaks about, can the potter say to the thing that made it, why did you make me like this? No, the clay pot doesn't speak to the potter. He is at the disposal of the one who made it. I'm telling you, God is our creator, and we come to him, and he has made us. And God does that's right. Every time, he is the God of justice, be it to the Jew, the Gentile, to the black, to the white, to the up and out, the down and out. I'm telling you, God is a God of Bible justice. Number two, what shall we say? We shall say that man's relationship to God is found exclusively in Christ. To our Jewish friends, you got to come to Jesus to go to heaven. To every Gentile, you got to come to Jesus to come to heaven. Notice what he said down in our text, that the Jew stumbled because they didn't pursue it by faith. You see, our Jewish friends were not looking for a lamb. They wanted a lion. They were not looking for a cross. They wanted a throne. And the birth of Jesus is offensive to the Jew. His birth coming in a lowly place. His life lived in poverty. His teaching saying, Moses has said, but I say unto you. His death, they never saw the Messiah's dying. His death was offensive to the Jew. But the problem with the Jew is found in verses 30 and verse 32, because they did not come by faith. You must come by faith. And if you don't come by faith, you'll not come at all to God. Let's just lay it square out on the table, church. Let's understand. And if you believe this and you're not telling people about it, you're the biggest hypocrite in Pensacola, Florida. Amen. If you believe that Jesus is exclusively the way to heaven and you've not told anybody about it in the first 11 months, you ought to run to this altar this morning and beg God's forgiveness and ask His boldness. And if you really believe Jesus is the only way, why aren't you proclaiming it and heralding it and telling it? My Lord, we've got a lost world dying, and it's broken, and going to hell, and we say we have the answer, but we tell it not. It's one thing for the preacher to say that exclusively has come to Christ. It's another thing for all. Do you know if all of y'all would just go to your neighbors tonight and give an invite? I'm not even asking you to share the gospel. I'm just asking you to give an invite. You know what kind of impact we'd make if 3,000 Baptists went to their neighbors? My soul. Bake some cookies or bread, or just go over and say, we love you and our church is having some stuff and we'd like to invite you. You say, well, I've never even met my neighbors. Then you ought to run to this altar this morning. See, I don't even know who lives next door to me. Oh, Lord, help us. Friend, you must come to Christ. You're in this room or you're listening today at Warrington, in our second case. If you're listening in Warrington, you hear me. If you're listening in this room or on Facebook Live or by the broadcast radio, hear me. You must come to God by faith. By faith, to believe in Christ. You don't come by birth. All that are born of Israel are not Israel. A Jew, just because you're born a Jew doesn't make you, you're going to go to heaven. Just because you're born as a member of this church doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Doesn't come by birth, it comes by faith. Just because you've been baptized doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You got to come to the Christ. And just because you've been circumcised as a Jew does not make you one that's going to heaven. You must come to Jesus by faith. Your heritage does not take you there. You say, well, my daddy was a preacher and my granddaddy was a preacher. I sat at a ball game this week, and they were singing the national anthem. The guy next to me was singing, man, he had a great voice, and he was singing. He turned over and shook my hand, and he began to talk to me, and I said, man, you got a great voice. He said, well, my daddy was a preacher, and I've been in church. I sing it. I said, well, amen. I reached in and got one of my cards. I said, this is what I do. I don't care if your daddy's the bishop of Pensacola. Friend, if you don't get born again, you'll bust hell wide open. You don't come by your heritage. Not all that are of Israel, born of Israel, are of Israel. It's the key. He's speaking nationally here, not so much individually as he is for the nation. I don't care if you know the law backwards and forward. If you can quote the Ten Commandments. My grandchildren came in knowing all the books of the Bible the other day. I thought of Clyde Parazine's, the first one I ever heard sing that song, so you'd know all the words of the Bible. All the books. Genesis, Exodus, he'd teach that song. I thought of Joyce, Brother Clyde. I asked my girls and they sang it. They sang all the way from Genesis to the Apocalypse to the Revelation. They sing all that. I don't care if you can quote every book and know the order they're in. If you don't come to Jesus, you're lost, dear friend. You don't come by birth or baptism, circumcision, heritage, by law. You don't come by membership. You walk down here this morning, I ask you, why have you come? Say, well, I want to join the church. That's wonderful. We'd love you to join the church. Hope you'll come, move your membership, be right here. But the most important thing is not you joining this church. The most important thing is your name written on the Lamb's Book of Life. The problem with most of our churches is we got scores of people on the membership roll that'll never get into glory. They're lost church members. Not all that are born of Israel are of Israel. Your citizenship doesn't get it. I have a lot of people, they think they get to go to heaven because they're an American. Talk to them, I was born in America, you know, in God we trust. Now, your citizenship. You say, well, I'm Jewish, I'm an Israeli. I don't care, nor does God. Just because you're a Jew doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You got to come to Jesus. Not all that are born of Israel are of Israel. Oh, my Jewish friend, we love you to tell you Jesus is your Messiah. Come to him today. Your heritage or your citizenship. Your self-righteousness won't do it either, beloved. Because this is the number one thing I get from the Baptist crowd. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Well, I've been good. That's the first thing we get. Well, let me say two things. Number one, you have not been good. Not even this month with Christmas coming have you been good. You can check your list twice and three times because God's already checked it and you've not been good. I mean, I even know some of the stuff some of you guys do. You hadn't been good. Well, preacher, you know, I've done more right than I've done. No, you hadn't. Friend, your righteousness is like filthy, stinking, pus-filled rags, Isaiah says. You need a redeemer. You need to be cleansed. And that's what the saintly apostle is crying out here. Man's relationship to God is found exclusively in Christ. Saturday, the former president of the United States died. Is it 41? Is that the number, I think? George Bush. James Baker, who was one of his closest friends, came to see him the day he died. You've read the story, probably. President Bush was kind of in a sleepy state. And James Baker came in, he heard his voice, and he straightened up and looked. Because he thought, Baker's coming means there's something to do. And the president said, Bake, that's what he called James Baker. He said, Bake, where are we going? James Baker said, Mr. President, we're going to heaven. And he said, oh, that's where I'm ready to go. He said, just hours later, he slipped into death. I've never talked to George Bush about his, I don't know, I've heard him name the name Christ. I don't know, and you don't know about him. Matter of fact, I don't have to know about him. Who I got to know about is me. And who you got to know about is you. So I want to ask you this morning, if this is your day, have you found your salvation? Do you know God exclusively, only in Christ? And Christ, you say, preacher, is that enough? Oh, friend, it's more than enough. He is the sufficiency for your life here and there. What shall we say then? We shall say there's no injustice in God. What shall we say then? That man's relationship to God is found exclusively in Christ. What shall we say then? Number three, listen real quick. What shall we say then? Biblical faith is marked by unashamed boldness. He says it right here in verse 33. Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be ashamed, will not be disappointed. He quotes this from Isaiah, 28:16. Look at Isaiah 28:16. It's not exactly like verse 33, but notice what he said. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed, and he who believes in it will not be disturbed. Keep that up there, Sharon. Look at that. Notice what he says. I'm laying in Zion. In Zion. Jesus was Jewish. He is laid in Zion. We're going to be singing about it all this month when Jesus was born, a babe in Bethlehem. God laid a stone in Zion. And when he was born, Joseph looked in and said, it's a boy. Yes, he was. And Mary said, how'd you know? Lord God, help us to get our minds back. That little baby boy was laid in Zion. But not only was it a stone laid in Zion, the Bible says it was a tested stone. Mark 1:13, he was tested by Satan himself when he was taken out for temptation. In Hebrews 4:15, it says that he was tempted in all things just as we would be. Matthew 26:29, Jesus was tested when he prayed, oh God, let this cup pass from me, but Lord, not my will. Not my will, but yours. You see, it was a tested stone. And it passed the test. Hallelujah. Jesus passed the test. You wouldn't pass it. But the cornerstone passed the test. Holy, holy, holy was the Lord our God. He was laid in Zion. He was attested. It was a costly stone. A costly stone. Romans 8:32 tells us that God gave his son. Today's my boy's birthday. Bennett, he'd be here in 2 weeks. About to finish law school. God gave his son. What a price he gave for you. It's a costly. You wouldn't give your child. On your child's worst day, you wouldn't give your child. God gave his son. It was a stone laid in Zion. It was a tested stone. It was a costly stone. But notice, oh, glory to God. Back in Isaiah 28:16, the Bible says it was firmly placed. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Any other stone rolls away. But Jesus has been firmly placed. For 2,000 years we've been speaking his name and he's not going away. I saw every now and then God just gives us a little glimpse. Did you happen to see on the news this week where an archaeologist found a ring in Jerusalem with Pilate's name on it? Pilate's dead. Jesus didn't have any rings. But he just gives us a little glimpse into the story every now and then. So archaeology just says, whoop, he was there. He stood before Pilate. But let me tell you, the day is coming when Jesus, the firmly placed stone, Pilate will stand before him. As you will stand before. Now notice, right quick, last word in Romans 9, that he who believes, if you believe, you'll not be. Now this is a hard word to translate. He will not be, the King James says, ashamed, which I like better than the New American Standard, which says disappointed. They have the same root. What it says is that when Jesus, when you believe in him, you're not disappointed to the place that you are unashamed. You are without shame. Let me tell you, if you trust Jesus, it won't bother you to walk down this aisle. It won't bother you to go in that water and be baptized. It won't bother you to tell your neighbors about. Let me tell you, if you believe and you trust him, you are not ashamed. I'm amazed what we are not ashamed of. Oh, we'll stand and sing for the national anthem. We'll thank God for America. We'll stand for our team, shout for them. We'll love our families and our grandchildren and our children, and grown men will go to dance recitals that they know nothing about. Why? Because they're unashamed. Let me tell you, friend, when it comes to your master, when it comes to King Jesus, he doesn't disappoint you, and you should not be ashamed. Ashamed. If you're in that Warrington campus, don't be ashamed today. Run to that Next Step table and confess him as Lord. If you're in this house, when I step right down here and give the invitation, I want you to come running to this place, unashamed. The Bible says in this text that he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Some of you have got an old hard heart, and God's given you another call, another chance that he's calling out to you. Would you come? God gave Pharaoh 10 chances. He hardened his heart. Let me tell you, after a while you harden your heart, you'll not hear God. But if you hear God calling you through Christ, then you need to come unto him. Saw my sabbatical. I went to 128 Wan Lane in Pisgah, Alabama. Delton and Jean live there. We went and looked and talked about should they stay there, move, or come here in another house or sell the house. They said, son, just tell us what we need to do. We'll be about it. I said, well, let's pray and ask God. And so we had prayer together. We got around to talking about leaving planet Earth. It's a good conversation. Easy? No. Want to talk about it? No. But it's a needed conversation. Because guess what? We're all going. And you ought to have a little conversation. Well, I was glad my daddy nailed her down. He's been telling me for 10 years, well, you know, next Christmas I probably won't be here. Oh, Lord. Then he'll ask. He'll say, how's old Travis doing? He asks Travis about you every time. You say, how's Brother Pete and Miss Jenny? Ask about Pete Wells every time we get together. Ask me about Pete. These two guys been fishing with him. Always ask. He said, well, how is Pete? He said, called him the other day. He sounds like he's a little slow. I said, he's slowing down a little. I said, well, he's still smiling in Jesus. He'll ask about some other people. Friends, we all leave in this world. What I want to know is, do you know? I mean, you know you're headed to heaven? I mean, if you don't know today, you ought to trust him because you never know the hour.